So why aren't there more women in science, technology, engineering, and math? It's the morning show. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent, and the acronym is STEM, or STEAM if you add art. And last month, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission released a study finding that a little more than one-fourth of STEM leadership positions in our federal government are held by women. One-fourth. Our guest this morning has been charged by the National Science Foundation with helping to answer this question, but I'll ask you as well. Why? What's behind this discrepancy? 1-800-642-1234 to join us, or email ideas at WPR.org. Our guest, Jennifer Shuttlefield Christus, an associate chemistry professor at UW Oshkosh, the director of the UW System Alliance for Inclusion, Diversity, Equity, and Advancement in STEM. And she is leading a million-dollar National Science Foundation project that aims to increase and retain women in the STEM fields. Jennifer, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Welcome. Good morning. Thanks.
Let's just begin with your backyard, as you are an associate chemistry professor at UW Oshkosh. Tell us a little bit about the gender discrepancies in our STEM fields right where you are this morning at UW Oshkosh.
Well, thanks for having me. We are a team of folks at UW Oshkosh that are really trying to look at the gender equity representation across our three campuses. So what we observed was that there were only about 35% women in our STEM departments, which is underrepresented if we think about the national statistics, which is generally women should be around 50%. And so our grant is looking to start to think about how we can increase gender equity at UW Oshkosh.
And what has your experience as a woman in the STEM field been like, Jennifer? I mean, anecdotally, without the science, but just the experience, what do you see?
Yeah, well, my experience has generally been at Oshkosh, interestingly enough, I actually didn't realize that those were the numbers. I think that speaks to the strong collaborative environment that we have with the women at UW Oshkosh in the STEM departments. When Dr. Alicia Johnson, who's the interim university diversity officer and director of the Women's Center, and I sat down to think about this particular project, I was a little shocked actually at the numbers. I was surprised and really wanted to start looking at this in more detail.
Yeah, and so when we're looking at a gender discrepancy, it's hard not to, in the STEM fields, I'm also immediately think about women of color, LGBTQI plus staff experience in STEM departments. And what do we know about the discrepancies, disparities that we find there, Jennifer?
Absolutely. Like that, just generally, we see people with multiple marginalized identities actually also have not achieved any sort of gender equity. And so, and specifically at UW Oshkosh, that's something, again, that we want to focus on. We want to make sure that we're looking at all of these different intersections and bringing that into our work.
So we're talking about women in STEM this morning and the steps Wisconsin University is taking to close that gap and empower women. UW Oshkosh Professor Jennifer Shuttlefield Christus is our guest, and she's leading the National Science Foundation project aimed at increasing and retaining women in academic science and technology, engineering and math, or STEM. You can join our conversation with your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. And as you mentioned, Jennifer, you've got a team of people examining how to increase diversity in STEM at UW Oshkosh, and you're planning on, as I understand, developing some sort of dashboard or tracking for progress. As you mentioned, you were sort of surprised by the numbers you found at UW Oshkosh, so let's put them up there. And how would this dashboard, as you see it, contribute to the gender equity at the university?
Yeah, I think one of the things that, you know, from my experience, as I said, I didn't feel the numbers. And so we really believe that if we bring transparency to those numbers, that will help just better the conversation. It will help us think about the policies and procedures that we're creating and really help us to just, you know, again, put numbers, put data to what we see happening in departments, and maybe that will help departments think about their decisions as they go through processes.
So it's use the scientific method to study why there is a gendered imbalance in our science fields.
Yeah, and there are definitely the advanced grant. So that's the grant that we were awarded from the National Science Foundation. The advanced program has been around for 20 years. They just celebrated their 20th anniversary last year, and there are a number of just known best practices, and so we are building on. You know, we're using key strategies from those best practices that have been learned over time. And so we're going to be trying to implement those at UW Oshkosh with the hope that then we can also just help inform UW system and then the nation.
You're not reinventing the wheel here, Jennifer. You're building on some of the science that's already been done into the research of the disparities in gender and inequities that we find in the science fields.
Yeah, we are definitely building on previous work. But one of the things that's really interesting about Oshkosh is the way that we chose to integrate after the restructure. And our restructure was an integration model. So our colleagues on the Fox Cities and the Fond du Lac campus were integrated into the STEM department, into all departments, actually, not just STEM departments, but most of the UW system institutions decided to keep their 2-year campuses as branch campuses, whereas we chose a different model. And I think this will lead to some really interesting work, and it also might mean developing new methods or new strategies.
Sure, Jennifer. I, when we talk about the disparity, I'm wondering, do you find a concern that publicizing these disparities could actually stigmatize women in departments or discourage women from entering the STEM fields?
That is something, you know, that people have talked about. If you talk about how, you know, the climate might not be great, that then people might not entertain that career. But I hope that they see that, you know, we're working on this, that this is that there are people that, you know, want to make sure that there are opportunities available for everyone of all different identities. And so we continue to work and try to improve climates and cultures.
So what are some of those best practices that you plan on building on, Jennifer? And I'm sure there's a slew of them, but is there top of mind ones that immediately jump to your mind?
Well, so oftentimes, just one, making sure that people are aware of the data, that's one. Also, looking at policies and procedures just to make sure that those are equitable. Also, doing training. So training is another one. So there are a number of different things that we can do, but typically transparency tends to be at the top of them. So trying to make sure that people are being transparent in their selection process. So utilizing rubrics when doing hiring practices or evaluation practices, and just making sure that you know, those rubrics are followed as people go through their promotion pathways.
Our guest, Jennifer Shuttlefield Christus, an associate professor of chemistry at UW Oshkosh, the director of the UW System Alliance for Inclusion, Diversity, Equity, and Advancement in STEM, and also the leader of a National Science Foundation grant that is looking at the disparity in gender in the STEM fields. If you are involved in science, technology, engineering, and math, and you see this disparity too or feel it, what do you do about it? How do you take action? What role do you play? 1-800-642-1234. It's worth asking the question of you this morning, as well as our expert, as we continue the conversation. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. So when it comes to overcoming the gender gaps in science, technology, engineering, and math, do we all have at least some small role to play here, even if we're not directly involved with the STEM fields? It's The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn, and our guest is an associate chemistry professor at UW Oshkosh. Jennifer Shuttlefield Christus is also the director of the UW System Alliance for Inclusion, Diversity, Equity, and Advancement in STEM, and she is the leader of a National Science Foundation project aimed at increasing and retaining women in the sciences. And she may be the best person to answer this question, but I'll also ask you, what, if anything, can you do to support women and gender non-binary people in the fields of STEM? Join 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. And before our underwriters, Jennifer, you were talking about the training that you're planning on. UW Oshkosh is planning to provide some training to raise awareness about the inequities among the STEM faculty and gender. And the National Institute of Health says mandatory one-time training can be ineffective. So how is UW Oshkosh ensuring its training creates change, Jennifer?
Well, I think when we think about training, oftentimes it's something, you know, that we do that is maybe we're interested, maybe we're not, or maybe we're, you know, watching a video on our computer while we're doing something else. we would really like to make these disciplinarily focused. And thinking about utilizing real stories. And I think that when you utilize real stories and real institutional data and come back to the aspects of what's happening at your own institution, it helps us to think about, like, you know, we look at our colleagues a little differently. It becomes personal then. And so we hope that when it becomes personal in that sense, it becomes more meaningful. And that people recognize that there is a need for a change then.
Not a statistic which is difficult to empathize with, but an experience which is impossible not to empathize with. And yet this training, as I understand it, Jennifer, would use specific data to demonstrate gender inequities. Is this because, as you mentioned early, data awareness may be the first obstacle we have to overcome here?
That's what we're hoping. We did a STEM climate study at UW Oshkosh in the fall of 2021. And some of our data really just indicated that people were just not really aware. And so we hope that doing some of these trainings will just help bring awareness. And when it's at the front of your mind, then you tend to make different decisions.
Yeah, we're talking about UW Oshkosh addressing gender inequity in STEM fields with Jennifer Shuttlefield Christus. She's an associate chemistry professor at UW Oshkosh. And the university recently announced a $1 million grant from the National Science Foundation to increase and retain women in STEM fields. But I also want to ask you about your role as the director of the UW System Alliance for Inclusion, Diversity, Equity, and Advancement in STEM. Because, Jennifer, I think a lot of companies and a lot of industries have some diversity, inclusion, or equity program. But tell me a little bit more about how Advancement plays into your work in the UW system as the director of the Alliance here.
Yeah, that's great. I love that you picked up on the word advancement. Our program has an advisory board that consists of two members from each UW system institution. And our advisory board members were really excited about that particular term. Because in thinking about persisting in STEM, that doesn't necessarily mean that you've had success in STEM. Persisting is great, but advancement is really key and critical, which is why we really wanted to bring that particular term in. As you noted at the start of the show, women still continue to be underrepresented at the higher levels of employment, and so we want women to move through and be represented throughout the entire gamut of jobs and positions. And so that's also actually one of the noted barriers to gender inequity is just a lack of role models. And so that's a place where advancement really comes in.
Well, and what role would that play in tenure? UW Oshkosh says they anticipate a quarter of their tenured STEM faculty will likely retire in the next 10 to 15 years. And so how will UW Oshkosh review its tenure system through the lens of equity and advancement?
Well, we're hoping again that comes back to just an increase in policy transparency. Oftentimes policy ambiguity leads to people leaving just leaving the workforce in general. And so especially when you come from a marginalized identity, then it becomes all that much more difficult to understand the pathway forward. And oftentimes there are other hidden labor costs that go into that when you do come from a marginalized identity. And so we really want to make sure that these policies are transparent in the process. People know what they need to do to move forward and to get through the tenure process. And then also beyond the tenure process, I would even say to go, you know, to continue their career, to go to full professor.
Jennifer, you talked earlier about the need for role models, and Jennifer Shuttlefield Christus joins us as a role model this morning. What got you into the field, STEM fields? What was it that made you so curious that you kept going?
Oh, that's a great question. I took chemistry in high school, and I loved it. It was it was something that. For me, I actually think the math was the best part. It was the integration of the math and the science. And so I just continued on. I liked it in high school. And then I followed that pathway into college. And I would say my pathway in college was not, I was a first generation student. It was not necessarily a pretty pathway. I did get an economics degree also, in the process.
Wow.
So, I ended up with a chemistry and economics degree, but it took me 6 years to do that. So it was just an interesting pathway, but I really have always just liked chemistry and, I like science in general. And so, I was fortunate enough to have people, mentor me and push me along the way. And so I'm excited to be here today to continue to do the same.
I can tell. And what advice would you give for young women who are excited by the sciences or hoping to become engineers and are looking at math as a problem to solve in a fun way? What would you say to them this morning?
Yeah, I think that, one of the things that I would say I would try to do is I would try to find somebody like me. There are a number of us out there that want to help, that want to, you know, be your champion and support you and do whatever we can to help you along the path if there is a struggle or if there isn't a struggle. And so we just want to, you know, cheer people on and continue to help them get to where they want to go. And so that's, I think that's part of why we go into these roles as faculty members, that you, in the end, especially at a primarily undergraduate institution, you want to help your students succeed and get to wherever they want to go. And so we're here to help support that process.
And Jennifer, do we play a role in this, even if I'm not in science, technology, engineering, or math? I mean, we certainly have engineers here in the building. It's how we're on the air. But what role, if any, do I play in finding some gender equity in our STEM fields?
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's always an opportunity in particular to just help create a culture of inclusion and equity. And so if you see an experience or if you see something that you think could be improved, then, you know, take that opportunity to step in and say something or do something. And so we all have that opportunity. And I think that that's where, you know, we can all start to work on culture. Right. And we can all start to be encouraging and help people try to get where they want to go or do the jobs they want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and as we're wrapping up here, so are we going to take this national once the National Science Foundation grant wraps up and the study is complete and your work is done for the NSF? What happens next?
Well, I imagine that our work isn't going to be done after 3 years. At least that's probably our hope. We have a lot of things to do. And so, we're going to keep on moving forward, but yeah, we will disseminate this work. So we'll take it and we'll present at conferences and talk, you know, to the different institutions at System and let them know of our experience and hopefully that people can learn from that.
Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Jennifer Shuttlefield Christus, Associate Chemistry Professor at UW Oshkosh, Director of the UW System for Alliance for Inclusion, Diversity, Equity, and Advancement in STEM. And she's leading a UW Oshkosh National Science Foundation project aimed at increasing and retaining women in science, technology, engineering, and math. Just ahead this hour, a recent UW-Madison study found that just 15% of commercial CBD products are accurately labeled. 15. A pharmacy professor joins us to explain what really is and is not in those cannabinoid products or CBD products. We invite you to join in if you've used CBD and found it to be inconsistent in its active ingredients. Perhaps there's a good explanation why. And that follows the news. Phone number to join us, 1-800-642-1234. I'm Lee Rayburn. News update is next. And then a Wisconsin Life here on the Ideas Network.